Well, if you're confused, I can honestly tell you I can give you a piece of information that may give you some reason to think about what's going on in this book. But in 1 hour, we can't totally diffuse your conflict. And one of the reasons we can't is because W, D, J, and TW would make more sense. Now, question is, what does WDJ... Oop, I missed something. I missed my S. Oh, my goodness. I missed the S. Can you believe that? Well, now it's all messed up. I mean, if you got to have letters and figure out where you're at or where you're going or where you want to go or where you think you might want to go, let's do it this way. We really ought to consider, what did Jesus say and to whom? That would make more sense. Now, this is the short course, which really doesn't work unless you think you're a Jew, I guess, and it still doesn't work. But what did Jesus say and to whom is the important issue. Which, by the way, I must admit that you're only going to find out the answer to this is if you spend time studying the Word of God. You cannot go to the convenience store or the local pack-a-sack and get this understanding. You've got to get your word, your nose in the Word of God. And hopefully someone can show you, give you some ideas on which direction you want to go. And how to do it. Well, perhaps if you're confused, maybe you really don't know who you should be following in this book. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11, verse 13. What time really flies when you get up here? And it's all good. The problem is, it's so much to talk about. Romans chapter 11. Well, perhaps we can put you on the right track if you are confused. Romans 11, verse 13. This is, by the way, Paul writes Romans. He wrote Romans through Philemon, in fact. Verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. So there's your apostle. Now, if you'll turn to Acts 9. Acts 9, verse 3. Now, we just noted that Paul says he's your apostle. Let's find out where he came from. How did this all happen? And we're giving you the short course, by the way, but this will give you a good understanding. In Acts 9, verse 3, and as he journeyed, that's being Paul, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, being Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I'll go to verse 15 of chapter 9. But the Lord said unto him, speaking of Ananias, he said, but the Lord said unto him, go that way, for he, that is Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Wow. Now, I know the people in the church building here know this already, but if you're tuned in on the internet, you need to know that Paul, who was called Saul originally, was chosen by God. Now, such as Moses was chosen by God, he was an emissary to the Jews for God. I would say Moses, and most everybody knows Moses, he was a pretty important guy. Well, now we have Paul, who's also being spoken to, and God indicated that he was a chosen vessel. Well, if God chooses you, it would be my understanding that in practical understanding, I suppose, is that if God chooses you or chose someone, then he must be important, and what he has to say must be very important. Well, okay. Well, where do we go from here? Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:15. I hope you're making notes if you're on the internet, because you'll never get all this without making notes. It takes a while to get a grasp of all this. But when you grasp it, like the man said, how sweet it really is. I turn these pages so much they get thinner and thinner. Or my fingers are getting wore out. I'm not sure which. But in the 2 Timothy 2:15, chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, Paul said you should study. But he also said, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, a lot of times when I'm out and around, Miss Jean, and I'm talking to somebody, and I want to bring up the 2 Timothy 2:15 verse, I want to explain it to them. Now, this is how I do it. I'm sure everybody's got different methods upon which they might use. But I tell them, you know, the whole Bible is truthful. No question about it. Nobody's debating the authenticity of the King James Bible. But why would you divide the whole truth? That's almost like saying, why would you cut the ham on Thanksgiving? Why? Because you want some of it to go down on this end of the table, and you want the other half of the ham to go on the other end of the table. We want everybody to get their piece. Well, Paul realized that there are two groups of people in the Bible. Principal groups of people called Jews and Gentiles. It's all truthful. It's all for our edification. But it's not all written to you. It's for your edification, but not to you. Because there's a parting of the information. That's why when people, once again, come back every, what would Jesus do? Well, that's a sign is a Jewish tradition. Well, let's look over in Ephesians now. It's one thing you'll find with the Grace Bible Church that we're going to survey a lot of pages in this Bible. Because unlike the lady I spoke to yesterday, it was obvious that she only knew what the rabbi told her. And like I say, the interesting thing, she wasn't Jewish. Oh, she said, we're not Jewish. We're not Jewish. But she kept alluding to the Old Testament too. I'd really like to sit down and talk to her for a while. Actually, I'd like to talk to the rabbi see where he's coming from. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation, he, that being Christ, God, made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Wow. This Paul guy is pretty important. He's got a lot of good information. And now he's got a mystery that he's talking about. Nobody else is talking about a mystery. And he was spoken to in Acts 9 on Damascus Road by God. Must have been a revelation. Well, let's look at Romans 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans 11, verse 25 through 28. Paul says, For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, There shall come out of Sion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. All of a sudden, you see this Paul brings to the table some information wherein he says that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So now we got Israel over here that are blind, and now we've got Gentiles over here until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. There's two different programs here, folks. That's why Paul wanted to divide the truth. Now, for those that... And I keep going back to this because this is this Jewish thing. These people are missing the point. You don't need a sign. You need to get your nose in the Word of God. Different program. Let's turn over to Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 25. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, now Paul is taking possession of this gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. He's saying that he's got a gospel, and he's continuing to tell us about the secret. Maybe this is not so confusing after all. But let's continue on to see where this leads us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. It's right there anyhow. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world.
What?
Excuse me. Nor of the princes of this world they come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Oh, I guess I need to go on. 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And of course, we know without his crucifixion and his death, burial, and resurrection and the shedding of blood, it's that blood that redeemed us for our sin nature. Colossians 2. Let's go over to Colossians for a minute. Colossians 2:13 says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all transgressions." Paul didn't say he only forgave some of your transgressions. The question you have to ask yourself is, what's the definition of all? Well, for you on the internet, all should have been past, current, and future. All is a very all-encompassing word. Isn't that wonderful? There was a mystery, and now Paul tells us that all our sins are paid for, and he's our apostle? And is a good possibility that your church that you've been going to, or the church you used to go to, or even the church you might want to go to, has either failed, going to fail, or may fail in the future to tell you who your apostle really is. And once you know your apostle, then you begin to understand that perhaps it's not so confusing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. Paul writing now. He's still my apostle. Paul writes, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." Now, not imputing, by the way, if you don't know, that's... means we're not putting it. He's not putting it to your account. Not holding it against you anymore. So anyhow, not to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He did say a while ago that all your trespasses were paid for. Wow. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For he hath made him, that's Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, I don't know about you, but that's not real confusing, that if you read it. If you don't know where it's at, then give us a call here at the church. We'll be glad to help you. But if you make good notes, you know where it's at. Turn back over to Romans for a minute. Fifth chapter of Romans. Verse 17. And it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one," that was Adam when he fell in the garden. "For if by one's offense death reigned by one, Much more, they which received the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, which is Christ, shall many be made righteous. So there's a balancing act there. Yeah, Adam sinned. Everybody knows about that. And because of that, sin passed upon man, passed on upon man. But Christ has given us, or is paying the price, so that we don't have to be condemned. Look over, if you will, in chapter 6. Chapter 6 in Romans and in verse 14. It says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law." That is, the Ten Commandments any longer. They are there as to teach you. They were there in the Old Testament to teach you right and wrong. They're there to teach the Jews the right and wrong. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." And it's a free gift. Have you ever been given, let's say, rather be Christmas or your birthday, have you ever been given an envelope? And then, has anyone ever failed to open the envelope? Why is it that we automatically open up the envelope? Let's see what's in it. That's a great answer. It's a simple answer. It's a wonderful answer. God gave us a free gift. How many people do you know that won't open this book? And there's a free gift in it. And it's worth... You don't even have really words for it. It's an unlimited value. You don't even need plastic for it. But you have to take the time to open the book, to see what's here, to read, to study, so you're not confused. But don't be like my Gentile friends in town that are trying to, you know, do the WWJD program. That's not the issue, folks. What is the issue is, what does Jesus say? And to whom does He say it? And when you put your nose in the book, spend the hours, you'll get a gift that's worth more than you could ever, ever, ever imagine. To be with your Savior for eternity. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do thank Thee for this day and the blessing that You've given us, Lord. We are so thankful, Father, for the Word of God, and the Word You brought to us, and it's a free gift, and it's on the table or on the desk in almost every home in America, Lord. Yet folks don't read it, Lord. They don't open it to see the free gift. We pray, Father, that those that are listening tonight and on the internet will take the time to get to know you, Father, and you offered a free gift. It's just most wonderful. It's worth more than anything in the world. Lord, we pray that things we do and say will be according to your will. But we also pray, Father, that those that know what the free gift is, Lord, that you'll be bold, that we will be bold, knowing that the Holy Spirit will guide us and to tell others, Father, about this free gift that you offer through the sacrificial death of thy Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we do pray. Amen.